Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Are you excited to be in church tonight? Yes. It is always awesome and glorious to gather together in congregational worship. Today I'm going to be sharing something very important with us. I'm starting up a midweek service series. Yes, and on Sunday we're going to have, in the month of March, 5 Sundays of wisdom and power explosion. It's going to be glorious. Yes, going to have glorious time. The last Sunday of the month is going to be a miracle service. Yes, we're going to have seasons of prayer and fasting, a little bit here and there, so that we can strengthen our hearts for what God is set to do in our midst. Amen. Glory to God. Okay, media, I asked, we're going to do something very fast. I want you to be very sincere. Of course, that's the reason I'm doing what I want to do tonight. Your sincerity, very sincere. Just don't try to be too, you know, don't try to create something that does not already exist. Just be very sincere. The Slido link is going to be put up, so you're not asking a question, you're just, I like to interact, I like to be able to share, I want to know what's inside and what I'm giving out, so that we can connect. I want to ask a sincere question from the ushers, to the meeters and greeters, to those in prayer team, to the leaders in church, pastors, heads of departments, workers, non-workers, instrumentalists, every single person. What is your motive for serving God? Why are you serving God? Why are you serving God? I'm not even talking about why are you serving God. Let me just put it that way. Why do you come to church? Why are you serving God? Why do you think it is necessary to be committed? Why? Where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. So I want to know, be very sincere. Don't try to hide anything. That will help inform the basis of some of the things I'm going to be teaching in the midweek service series for maybe the next 2 or 3 weeks. Then I'll pick another one before the end of the month. So why are you serving God? So we're going to be, just start giving your responses very fast. What is your reason? Why do you come to church? Why do you pray? Why are you committed? Why are you serving God? I wish I had other adjectives to really express myself, you know, about what I want to say, but just what's the reason for your service? What's the reason for you being a Christian, coming to church and all that? Why? What's your reason? So we're going to have about 3 to 4 minutes. Then we'll look at some of our reasons. Just get the code. I don't like long codes. Just 4. It's okay. This is pretty long. 4098. This is like a phone number. You should have just, can you change it fast or can we just get it? Just get it down. Just get it for time's sake. So have we started posting stuff already? Okay, so for time's sake, just try again. Next time when I ask for a slide code, just like 4098 is okay. But for today, let's go with this because of time. Why are you serving God? Why? Then I'll do practical with 3 people with a microphone. Okay, 1. Where's 2? Next person, two. You want to say something? Okay, two. Good. Then three. I like that. Very fast. One, two, three. Why are you serving God? Before we look at the Slido up, let the microphone go. The first one on that side. Let's keep putting on your comments. Just send in your comments. You know the good thing about Slido? You can be as sincere as possible because nobody knows who's sending what. So that makes it easy. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Be all very right. Straightforward because I'm going to be asking you why for 5 times. So just, okay. Why are you serving God?
The reason why I'm serving God is because I'm created in His own likeness. In other words, I'm an ambassador. So I am here in the Word.
No, I don't want sentence. Why are you serving God? The sentence is becoming long.
Because He's my Father.
Why is He your Father?
The reason why He's my Father, because He loved me, He chose me.
Why did He choose you?
He called me according to His purpose. He knows I'm the best. He made me perfect.
You are now under pressure. You don't have to be under pressure. I want you to take your time. Now, this same exercise is what you do every time you're about to take a step in your life. Don't take any step until you have asked yourself why for 5 times. Minimum of 5 times. Why? 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 Don't rush. Be very sincere with yourself. You don't have to rush. Or give the other person the mic. I'll come back to you. Just take your time. I'll come back to you. The next person, why are you serving God? So why?
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
It's a privilege.
Why is it a privilege to serve God?
Because I remember my past. Other people have done what I did, but yet it didn't save them at that particular time. He saved me. So like I'm called out, I'm chosen.
Okay, why did He save you? Let me pick that.
Because He has a reason and a purpose for saving me.
What is the reason and the purpose?
To be a shining light, to feed the world.
Why does He want you to be a shining light to feed the world?
So that I can bring glory to His kingdom.
See, we are getting closer to real purpose. Did you notice that? We're getting closer to real purpose. We're getting closer to the answer. Because that first answer you gave now, it will be vague. But the more you are able to get your reasons, the closer you are to it. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Yes. Yes. Let's try another person. Why are you serving God? The person at the back. I think it's Fabian that raised his hand.
Good evening, Papa, sir.
Good evening.
Thank you very much for the privilege.
You're welcome.
Sir.
Why are you serving God?
Initially, it started with the promise of what He wanted to do for me. That was the reason why I started serving.
Okay, you started serving God initially because of what God promised to do for you. What did He promise to do for you?
Yeah. He said He's going to save me from my worries and anxieties. So, and I believed it so much at that point, and I decided to follow Him. Okay, let me see how You want to do this. And I followed. I started serving.
But has your reason changed since that time?
It has.
So why?
Because during the journey,
now?
Then my mindset shifted to the place of love, because I have seen Him more than then. Then now, I now loved Him and I want to serve Him, not for the promises.
So not for the promises anymore.
Yes.
Now you're now serving from the perspective, from the foundation of love.
Of love, yes, sir.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Okay. For time's sake, let's get into business. Get this Slido up. Why are you serving God? Number one, I'm serving God because I feel fulfilled anytime I come to church or when I serve God. I feel fulfilled because I don't have a choice. Oh, you have a choice. You do. Everyone has a choice. I know it's my responsibility to serve God. It is our sole duty to serve God. I feel it's part of the reason I am living. I'm serving God because that's the only time I feel important and happy. Because God sent His Son to die for me. He loves me and I love Him and I want to make heaven, and everything in His Word leads me in life. To know whom I sought, because I realized I was not just walking in the right path of peace. I was restless and useless until I found God. I'm serving God because I find fulfillment in Him. I'm serving God because I was created to serve Him. I'm serving God because I love Him. Life feels like a void without Him. It's my first purpose on earth. I'm serving God because I love Him. It's not out of compulsion. Then after I found Him, my life just went on the path I never thought. And to leave this path means trouble. Okay, that's the same person, my love for Him. You're doing like a WhatsApp message. I can't even explain. I just find myself doing this because I'm stuck already. You need to be able to explain. You know? Because I have fallen in love with His Son. Jesus. Hallelujah. I saw the light in serving God. I'm serving God because I love Him. I wouldn't have it any other way. Also, He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I'm serving because I love Him and dominate my love. Okay. Okay, your love language is an act of service. So you are serving God. It's a conditional service. I'm serving God because I was created to serve Him. Because I believe we humans are initially created to serve and commune with God. He's a creator. I'm serving God because I have really been in bad situations. I have done really horrible things. And God saw me, saved me. God saving me was the light I needed. I'm serving God because He created me to serve Him, to bring pleasure to Him. I'm serving God because I found my purpose in God. I'm serving God because I found my purpose in God. I'm serving God. I'm serving God. I'm serving God. Glory to God. Yeah. There are many other things. Maybe when I get back, I could look at some of those things. Now listen, we live in a world where a lot of people are serving God for different reasons. The title of my message is Fit for the Master's Use. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to read from verse 20 to 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 20 to 21. Please pay attention. 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 20 to 21. Can we read it? The NIV. NIV, please. NIV. Everyone, let's read it together. One to go. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter. What's the latter? What's the latter? What? What? Okay. No, in this context, what's the latter? Go back. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Two things are being compared here. Special purpose, common use. So what's the latter? Common use. Do you understand that now? Yes. That's how to interpret scripture. So this is English, just simple English. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter, that is from common use. In other words, many people are comfortable to be at the level where they are going to be used for common things. They are not special. God wants to use you for special purposes. But certain people are not willing to cleanse themselves to come to the level where God can use them for special purposes. That's what the Bible is saying here. It says, but those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, because they cleanse themselves from being common purpose articles. Are we here together? Made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any what? Any good work. You just imagine sometimes it is as if God is stingy with His wanting to use people. So you hear people say things like, God, use me, use me. They are praying. They are fasting. They attend services. They are part of a department. They've joined many things. In fact, some people go to the extreme that any prayer mountain where they are praying, they will join. Any prayer online, whether it's confusion or straight on, they don't know, they just join. They do it so much, and it looks like, what kind of God is it that these Christians serve that is like giving them this anointing or this grace? It's like he's mising it, he's managing it. He does not just want to pour it on them. Because it looks like we're really seeing a lot of people pushing and pressing. Sometimes you start seeing people praying, more of you, God. I need more. The anointing, the power. Now, you even come to a generation where you meet a lot of people everywhere that are desiring to flow in the move of God. They want to flow in the move of the Spirit. They seem to be very hungry and desperate. Yet, a lot of people are not getting to experience or witness the manifestation of God upon their lives. And sometimes it should make us question and ask ourselves why. Some people have fasted a whole year and their prayer point is just one prayer point. Lord, use me. And after the fasting and prayer, they are not used. Sometimes some people say they are in a process. But some realize, some do not even realize that they have not started the journey, the process, because there is something missing that is foundational. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? So it doesn't mean prayer and fasting doesn't work. No, it does work. Prayer and fasting is a major recipe to encounter God. There's nothing wrong with that. But no matter how much you pray and fast that God will use you, no matter how much you pray and fast to be an instrument in the hand of God, many of us have posted the reason why we're serving God. But if I search deep in our hearts, it will not be that. Some people are serving God because of the healing they want. They need the healing. Some people are in church because they want to get married. Some people are in church because they believe that if they come around, they will see a nice girl. Some people are in church because they don't want their marriage to scatter. So let me be pushing my husband to church. At least if he's coming to church, he will serve God. And it's just for that the reason she comes. But every other thing is just attached. But her real reason is that if her husband continues to see God, his head will not go the other way. Some people are serving God because, my children, no, I don't want my children to be wayward. So I just follow them. So they go there just because of their children. They have not searched themselves to know what the real reason, why am I serving God? You need to be able to ask that question, because God says that he wants vessels that will be fit for the master's use. In other words, many of the vessels, the reason why they are not being used is because they are not fit. Let's be truthful. They're not fit. Because if you're fit, then God says, I will use you for special purposes. In a great house, there are all manner of vessels, some unto honor, some unto dishonor. The Bible says, if a man purges himself from activities that bring dishonor, he will be a vessel that is fit for the master's use. Please pay attention to the things I'm going to be sharing. Maybe this week or 2 weeks. If I can finish in 2 weeks, I'll be fine. If not, I'll extend it one more week. But I want you to open up your heart, because you will need to be sincere with God. You can come to church, do everything you like, join all the prayer platform, fast and pray for 3 years, and yet not see the move of God in your life. And people around will be asking and thinking, why is this their God like that? Does it mean their God is this wicked? I know this lady, she has fasted all her life, yet nothing is happening. I know this guy, he has fasted all his life. Why is nothing happening? God is not stingy. God is not selfish. As a matter of fact, he's waiting to pour the fresh oil. But I can tell you the truth, God will not put a new wine in an old wineskin. There must be willingness. He says, if a man purge himself, there are certain things that you must purge yourself from. There are certain things that you must get rid of. There are certain things that you must deal with. Because it will be a waste of oil when he pours the anointing in a vessel that is dirty. It will not be able to serve the next generation. When God pours the vessel the oil in a vessel that is not ready, the person can hoard the anointing and manipulate people and use the anointing for other purposes. And God is saying, I will not pour. If I give this person a little bit of what this person is asking for, will I still see you in church? If I give you that miracle, that breakthrough, if I give that answer, eventually if you settle down, would you still need me? Because many people, their motive for serving God is just what they want to get. And God has seen it. You know why? The Bible says that God is a God that searches the heart. Why are you serving God? You are coming close to God. and you're dating a guy that is not really God. So you're coming and forcing him. Yeah, please now follow, follow. That's why you're coming. That's why you're coming. You want a breakthrough. So all the while you have left God, but now you discover that there's a major challenge in your family, and maybe a prophet has told you that, you better hold God very well. Now you are holding God because of problem. So your motivation for serving God is the problem standing in front of you, not because of God. Is anybody getting what I'm sharing tonight? If a person cleans himself from the litter, the Bible says it will be a vessel that is fit. In other words, there are vessels that are not fit. In other words, there are vessels that are not the kind of vessels that God can use. You have to make sure that you prepare yourself so that you can be useful in the hand of God. And guess what? If you are not useful to God, you are useless. Sir, did you hear what I just said? Any person that is not useful to God is absolutely useless. You know why? You were created by God for his own pleasure, for his glory, so that you will show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If you are not doing anything and not useful to him, you are useful to yourself, useful to you, useless to yourself, useless to your family, useless to your generation. It's a waste of life. Because at the end of the day, everyone will stand before the judgment seat of God and they will give account. How would you balance your accounts? How would you balance your account? How will you explain? Even those who are saved will stand before the judgment seat of God, and the Bible says they will suffer loss. So leave the unbelievers that are going to hell. Even the person who is saved and eventually you are in heaven, the Bible says there will still be judgment. There's still accounts. Because judgment actually begins in the house of God. The only difference is that one judgment is to condemnation. This other one is to eternal life. And in eternal life judgment, our works will still be brought to fore. Why are you serving God? Why do you want to serve God? Why do you come to church? Why are you praying? You need to see the way some people pray. They are desperate and shouting. You think that they are praying for seriousness, you know, that devotion and pointing out their heart to God. No, there is a big problem behind their life that they are dying for. And God is saying, but this is not the real reason. That should not be your motivation. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here now? So we desire to see the move of God. We desire to be used of God. We love the manifestation of the power of God. We like to see all the things that we hear, maybe in God's generals, or you see the life of men used by God. You even see some people go the extra mile. It can be very terrible. Some people will come, you know, after service like this, you know, after using like this, Pastor, bless it for me. Give me. Some people have even stolen my handkerchief. After service, yes. I've been to ministers' conference where we finish ministration and the man of God finished ministering and they have to carry the podium and go and hide it because of pastors who rush down to the altar and lie down there and rolling. You think that is how to contact the anointing? The joker. I've seen where they finish program and they carry the man of God's chair and go and hide it because if they leave it there, some people will break it. So we sit down there. At least some people even sat down for 10 seconds. They will say no. They want to do fasting and prayer on that chair for 2 years, believing that that's the way they will contact the anointing. Doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. Some people, because they have seen the move of God in the life of a person, then they want to use seed to contact it and say, if I give this man money, maybe the anointing will come upon you. Never. You cannot merchandise. You cannot play the Holy Ghost smart. Never. Is it wrong to sow seed? No, absolutely. Nothing wrong to sow seed. But if your motivation is that the anointing will drop because of the seed, you have missed it. The seed should be a sign of honor. I don't know if anybody's getting what I'm saying tonight. We need to come to the place where we understand what it means to serve God and have the right motivation. Because many people have been misled. And that's why they go to certain people. When they get there, the person says that, I'm going to do special work for you. Before I do, this is my account number. Send money. And they will send. So bad that somebody you don't even know on TikTok has done it to you. Because you're pursuing the wrong things. People are pursuing the wrong things. They don't know how to seek after God. They don't know how to press into God and get the things that belong to the children. They are living like slaves, and yet they claim that God is their father. So every time they say father, God is saying, I'm not seeing the attitude of a son. I'm seeing the heart of a slave. Am I communicating? The truth is that God wants you to serve him sincerely from your heart. Your service matters to God. That is true. But something must be going in front. Something must be at the fore. Something must take the lead before your service will follow. It is not what you give in church or what you do in church that is priority. Your priority should be God. Make me more like you. Make me a man after your own heart. It is not just use me. You must say, God, I am willing to punch myself and do whatever it will take so that you would use me. If any man will punch himself. Many people are saying, God, use me, God, use me. But when God tells them the condition, they run back. Why? Because there's a price to pay. Are you getting what I'm saying here? You can't just show up and say, God, use me, God, use me, God, use me. Now, if God must use you, he will take you through his own process. True or false? Even organizations, when you employ a particular person to work, you take them through training. Because you feel that you have employed them, but they are not yet useful. The training makes them useful to serve in that organization. So despite the fact that they have employed the person, despite the fact we are all Christians, not all of us are fit for the master's use. That you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior is a good landing ground to start, but the journey has just started. You can't say because I confessed Jesus Christ, so I know everything. No. There's a way to go about it. So many people really want to be used, but they are not fit. Many years ago, I stumbled on a book by a man called Oswald J. Smith. And the title of the book is The Man God Uses. You might want to look into that material and find time to look at it. I don't know if we'll have it in the bookstand anywhere. But it's a very nice book. Now, these are some of the prayers that he prayed. Listen to the prayers that he prayed. If you really want to know the secret behind the success of people, it is not what they do in public that you look at. You should ask what they also do in secret. You can observe what's happening in public. Very good. But you might need to know what else happens. Because the real work happens in the secret. The real work does not happen in the public. You can stay with me for 3 weeks, 2 weeks, and you will never for one day see me praying. You will never. I say, this is my really pray. I'm sorry. Because why men slept? Some people have found their better time. Some people have found their way. So you just assume in your mind, but you never know that there are many things happening. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? You just discovered that the man is missing. Where did he go? 2 hours later, he has showed up and everybody's just in again. And you assume in your mind that the man is just normal. Say, no, I don't think, I've never seen him. The Bible had to tell us there are times where Jesus Christ had to run away from the people. They didn't know what he went to do, but he knew what he went to do. So there are prayers like this. He prayed. He said, Lord, listen to the prayer. He said, Lord, here are my hands. This is a prayer of consecration. He said, I consecrate them to thee. May they never touch anything that thou would not have them touch. In other words, this man is praying and he's saying, in my lifetime, these hands will not touch what God does not want you to touch. These hands will not touch what God does not want you to touch. These hands will not touch what God does not want it to touch in my lifetime. Just like Job made a vow. He said, I have vowed with my eyes that I will not behold another man's wife. That was what Job said. He said he has made a covenant with his eyes not to behold it. So people really want to serve God. They fast and pray, but just at the slightest. The Bible says, he that falls in the day of adversity is strength. Small. Yes. If it's the hand that you want to use to lay the sick, you can't be putting it on every woman anyhow and expect it to heal the sick. That's not your wife. Are you okay? So the guy is praying here and he says, God, that I will not touch anything or do anything that would dishonor thee. He says, and here are my feet. I dedicate them to you. May they never go to anywhere that they should not be seen. He says, here, Lord, are my eyes. May they never look upon anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit. Use me, Lord! 11:30, you're already on the pornographic site again. How? You must be willing to deprive yourself and deny yourself of certain things if you're going to enter that realm where God can say, this one is fit for the master's use. Listen, the message must not sound to you like a condemnation. No. But it's a call to a higher place. It's a clarion call so that you will know that there are certain things we will do. And even if they fast 3 years, 5 years, they will never be able to enter that realm. Because God is saying, you are not yet ready. Whoever will follow me, let him deny himself. Denying yourself means that there are pleasures. There are certain things you want, but you're going to say no. There are certain things your flesh wants, you will say no. Take up his cross. That means you're going to carry the yoke of Jesus. He said, and he will follow me. Whoever will follow me must deny himself. The person who will qualify to be used at a high dimension, not for ignoble purposes. The Bible says that there are ignoble purposes. It says there are special purposes. Special. Somebody say special. Every time you see a person being used for God's special purpose, you always admire them. You always look at them and like, wow, seriously good. Yes, but the question is, can you do what they do? Can you pay the price? Are you willing to deny yourself? So the man is praying here. And he says, Lord, that my eyes may never look upon anything that will grieve the Holy Spirit. My ears will never listen to anything that dishonors the name of the Lord. May my mouth never be open to speak a word that I would not want the Holy Spirit to hear. Then he says, the one that forms the base of what I'm going to discuss tonight. May my mind never retain a thought nor an imagination that would dim the sense of your presence. Harboring it in my mind and just because nobody is seeing it. They think that you are okay, but inside you know you're not okay. You can show off for people, but you know deep within you that what is boiling inside, what you are playing inside is such a deadly movie. And God is saying, no. I won't be able to use you. Why? Because out of a good man, out of the good treasures of his heart, brings forth good things. So if the things in your heart are evil, the Bible says it's out of the evil treasures that you are bringing it out. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? Yes. 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 So that you don't waste your time. People have fasted though. People have fasted until they had ulcer. It's not as if God is wicked. God, why now? How can God be like this? No. People have moved from one prayer mountain to another, from one place to another, until they contacted even demon spirits. But what you need is very simple. It's not as hard as that. It's not as hard. Must we fast? Oh, yes, we will. Should we pray? Why not? But I'm saying that there must be a foundation that will be laid for these things to work. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? Are you sure you're listening to what I'm saying tonight? Yes. So he says, may my heart know no love and cherish no feeling that is not of thee. He says, Lord, I give my all. I give my all to thee. Friends and time and earthly store, soul and body, thine to be, holy, thine forevermore. That's somebody's prayer. That's the kind of prayer somebody sat down and started praying and said, God, I give all of my life. This is who I want to be. I want to, until he prayed, until he heard the voice of God, God speaking back to him and telling him, yes, I'm ready to use you. He prayed until he heard the voice of God, God speaking back to him and saying yes. Then he had discussions with God on certain things that God would have him do. Then also J. Smith, it was said that about the age of 82 thereabout, he was still consulting his Bible dictionary and studying. He was still agile. When you give your lifetime to God, he will give you extra life. Not necessarily physical, always no, but impactful life. A life of impact. A life that will make sense. A life that people will look at and they will say, this person is different. I pray for everyone under the sound of our voice tonight that you will not serve with the wrong motive. I say you will not serve with the wrong motive. In the name of Jesus. Every man or woman who will be used by God, there are certain things that you must understand. Number one criteria that is essential if you want to position yourself to be that person that is fit for the master's use. Number one condition is not the action. It's not just prayer and fasting. It's not just activities in church. It's not just attending services. Some people attend services so that their neighbors will not think that they are devils. You said they go to church. Some people attend services because their house will be empty. and nobody will be at home, they'll shut the door. So let everybody go. Some people attend service because they don't like to stay alone. So the roommate is going, I'll just follow you. I'm not really, but because I don't like staying alone. Some people attend service because the husband has given a ruling in the house that everybody must leave this house. They are not, it's not really there. Just, let's just do this. But the number one thing that you must always check in your life, number one thing that must be a criteria, if you want to be a person that is fit for the master's use, you must first check the disposition of your heart. The disposition of your heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16, we're going to read from verse 1 to 7. I'll show you a few other scriptures. The disposition of your heart. The disposition of your heart. The state of your heart. Some other people will say it is the motive. What's your motive? Why? 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 You must be able to ask yourself, why? What is the reason? What's the motivation behind my serving God? What is the motivation behind my serving God? Why am I? Why do I want to be a pastor? Do you know that many people want to be pastors today because they think that it is, pastors are now celebrities. So I want to be a celebrity pastor. So he's showing up and he's doing some TikTok and Instagram stuff, and they'll post you and they'll be liking, thumbs up, congratulations. Some people are positioning themselves that, I'll marry pastor, because you feel like it's always nice, we like the way they always greet pastors, like, oh mama, wow, good. Then you watch some wonderful things on Instagram, then you see the modern day pastor hold his wife and they're coming like this and they're like, wow, you're like, oh, congratulations. Congratulations. If you know how many times some women have even forced their husband to be pastors by force because they want to be mommy Gio. May God help us in Jesus' name. 1 Samuel chapter 16, we're going to read from verse 1 to 7. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king amongst his sons. Go ahead now. Go ahead. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. But the Lord said to him, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Go ahead. Then invite Jesse and to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you. In other words, God has people he will name. You will not just anoint anybody. You will anoint for me the person I will name to you. See, it doesn't matter how much anybody does anything. It is the person that God names. And the naming of that person is dependent on the person's heart. If you check the man that was anointed, you will see the difference between the man that was anointed and the man that was rejected. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Look at what it says, verse 4. Let's go ahead now. Verse 4. So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, Do you come peaceably? Go ahead. And he said, peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Surely this guy that is carrying chair every day in church is the next pastor. Surely this woman that is praying as if thunder is going to fall on everybody here, she's the one that will carry the miracle in service this night. Why? Because he was looking at the external. He was looking at the outward. He had seen something that looked like it was it, but it was not really it. Are you sure you're not doing something that looked like, but you are not just it? Are you sure you're not engaged in things that make people look like they are already perceiving you? There is a perception, but you know that that is a wrong one. You are giving them, you are creating the perception, but your heart knows that you are not there. So it was when he came that he looked at Eliab. He looked at the stature of the guy. He looked at how big the guy was. The guy was looking big and lanky and fit, and he felt like, wow, seriously, I have found. In fact, he did not say maybe, he said surely. In other words, even a prophet will make a mistake, because a prophet cannot check the heart of men. It is for men to look at the external. It is for God to look at the heart. So looking at it externally, this person is the one that is fit. And that's why you're always wondering, surprised many times. You say, with all the people that are here, how did God go and look for this young girl or this young guy? Why is he this person? Why not all these ones? And God will say, no, I don't look the way men look. I look at the heart. So you see the next line, verse 7, the last one. It says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance. Do not look at his appearance or at the physical posture. Don't look at his appearance or the way he's following the pastor or the way he's carrying chair or the way he's positioning and fasting and praying. Listen, when nobody was there, you prayed 1 hour, you got tired. But because you know somebody was around, you prayed 4 hours stretch. You didn't pray, you were playing. So because they were hearing your voice, you extended it. You would do 1 hour normally. Nobody's there. Then you just notice people around the environment. They started shouting. Leka, ka, 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 ka. You check 1 hour pass. Leko, se, ge, de, 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 de. You check 3 hours pass. Leko, ba, ba, ba. The day nobody's there, 30 minutes, you are sleeping already. God looks at the heart and not the act. So you must start questioning your motives and ask yourself, am I doing the right things? If pastor is not there, if my wife is not there, if this person is not there, have I turned to a prayer warrior all of a sudden because my wife is watching and judging? Have I turned to a prayer warrior all of a sudden because my husband is watching and judging? Have I turned to a prayer warrior all of a sudden because my children are watching? No, despite the fact I want to set a model for them, I want them to do right, but I will check my heart and do the right thing. Duality is the face of deception. Anytime you want to deceive people, you'll be double-minded. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways and cannot receive anything from God. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature. He said, because I have refused him. Kai. In other words, God is saying he's not the one qualified. He's not fit. Physically, he was fit, but spiritually, he's not fit. In Saul's army, he's fit, but in God's army, he's not fit. So it's possible to be fit in a man's condition, consideration. It's possible to fill a form and you tick all the boxes and the man says, Kai, this is it. Only to get on the job and the man is regretting, why did I employ this person now? I thought you ticked all this box. And many times employers have done that. The person they employ ticked all the box only for them to get on job, on serious work. And they're like, man, let's renegotiate. Let's renegotiate. Listen. God doesn't need to renegotiate because he sees all things. You will not even come near it. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? Because I have been fighting for the Lord does not see as man sees. The Lord does not see as man sees. Do you know it is possible for somebody to deceive a man of God? Deceive. A young guy was following a man of God passionately and he was using the guise of following the man of God to deceive many ladies. And each time the ladies try to speak, you'll be saying things like, who would they believe? They'll believe me more than you. And the man of God sees the way he was, you know, there's the way some people speak in tongues. Even you know you're not speaking that kind of tongues. Who are you to question it? When I'm still being rababa, I'm hearing koko teke teke, kiki tuku 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 tuku. I say, what is this? Even fear grips your heart. But every time that sound is made, the man is looking and he's expecting the man to hear. And man will hear the sound, but heaven is saying, we are hearing lips moving, but we can't hear any sound. In the realm of the spirit, you are a dumb voice, a tingling cymbal. Are you getting what I'm saying here? For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance. He said, but God looks at the heart. A heart like yours is my desire. A heart like yours is what I'm searching for. Full of compassion, nothing wrong within. Please help me, Lord, and give me a heart like yours. And please help me, Lord, give me a heart like yours. Do not look at him, seeing that I have refused him. In other words, really, Eliab would have wanted to be chosen. God cannot refuse a person that did not apply. That means in the realm of the spirit, many people applied. That means the day they called, all the sons of Jesse, almost all of them were expecting that maybe I'll be the one. From the first, in fact, They never expected that David would be part of them. Why? Because when they did the whole parade, they asked Jesse, is this all? Jesse said, oh, yes. He now asked, he said, wait, are you sure these are all? That means Jesse did not consider David an option. I don't know who I'm speaking. You might not be considered an option. But I see that your heart is yearning. I see that you are passionate. I see that you are hungry. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, eyes will see, ears will hear. They will know that what man cannot see, only God saw. Your tears in the secret, your secret cry, your pain, your intercession, your devotion, your commitment. Others had a show, but you were behind the scene. It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time. Time always reveals everything. Time will reveal those who are pretending. Time will reveal those who are truthful. Time will reveal those who are into eye service. I tell you the truth. It's only a matter of what? Time. For man looks at the outward appearance. He said, but me, I don't look at the outward appearance. If I want to gauge a man, I gauge the heart. If I want to gauge a man, I don't look at the heart. I don't look at the eyes. I look at the heart. I don't look at his face. I don't look at the stature. I don't look at... No, I know what I am looking for. Child of God, listen. God knows what he's looking for. If you are going to be fit for the master's use, you must know and ask yourself, what is God looking for? And position yourself from where God is looking. Don't position what God is not seeing. There are many things that God is not seeing that many of us are doing so that we'll be seen by men. Listen, a man cannot reward you. A man cannot pay you. A man cannot do anything. God is looking at your heart. It is your heart that will determine whether you'll be chosen for the assignment. Is anybody getting what I'm saying today? Not many, so many people, not so many people wise according to the flesh were chosen. Have you not read in the Bible? He said, not so many of them who are wise according to the flesh. In other words, some were wise in their own eyes. And as they were manipulating, the Bible says, to the crooked, I will show myself crooked. To the crafty, I will show myself crafty. Child of God, don't be crafty. If you are dealing with God, know that you are dealing with one who searches the heart. He looks at the reins. He checks the pulse. Every single detail of your heart, he's seeing it. So you cannot play him smart. If you reap to the flesh corruption, you will of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit life, you will of the spirit reap life. And if you sow to the flesh corruption, you will of the flesh reap corruption. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? Yes. Jeremiah chapter 17, look at verse 10. Let me show you a few things. Jeremiah 17 verse 10. If you are going to be fit for the master's use, check your heart. Your motivation. What's your motivation? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. No wonder David said, God, search me, Lord, and know my heart. It's the same David. In other words, when David was positioning himself, he was not positioning based on his stature. He was not positioning based on what he could do. He was positioning from the heart. While these other guys were positioning from the act, David was positioning from the heart. Eliab must have said, if I package like this, if I carry a shield, if I carry a sword, if I put my chest out like a king. And David was coming so tired and haggard from the bush and just going like this. And he said, that's the king. He said, eh? And guess what? Everybody stand up. They had to stand up for him. The oil came upon his head. And for many years after that season, because it was not the day that he was anointed, it started raining. David went back and continued what he was doing. If you were the one, if they come here, if I call you one day and mistakenly put hand on you, are you sure you're not start intimidating everybody? Are you sure you're not start telling everybody, shh, everybody stand up. And they'll be wondering that, is it because are people respecting you because the pastor mentioned you? Or somehow in the realm of the spirit, you are positioning yourself and you deserve the honor. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. He said, even to give every man according to his what? According to the fruits of his what? Doings. In other words, the man's doings, they are things that were initiated from his heart. Remember, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things. Why are you serving? Are there not people who serving in children's church? We did not know. They were not aware. We were not aware. We have not had that kind of thing here, but we have had ministers' conference where we heard it, that a young man started serving in children's church. They were not aware that it was just because he wanted to be taking small children, females, to toilet. That's why he started serving there. So his motive of serving in that department was so that he can hold small girls. And I don't know who had that, who didn't have enough common sense to have positioned it until they caught him. Caught him. And that was his, he was serving them. See motive made a young man, many youth president in the church, and he started chastising the girl, and he said that every time I see you, I feel like always hugging you in church. And the girl said, why? I said, it just feel like hugging you. See the heart. See the exalted position the man of God kept him. See the heart. See the heart. See how low he has brought himself. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Luke chapter 16, verse 15. I'll show you three scriptures, then I'll say a few things that are in my heart. We're going to pray. You pray sincerely. You say, God, purge me. There is anything that I have put in my heart. David said, search me, Lord, and know my heart. If there is an evil way, lead me, Lord, to everlasting life. I belong to you. Search me, Lord, and know my heart. If there is an evil way, so lead me, Lord, to everlasting life. I belong to you. Over and again, I give you my heart. Over and again, I give you my soul. Over and again. Over and again, I belong to you. Over and again, I give you my heart. Over and again, I give you my soul. Over and again, over and again, I belong to you. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. But God knows your heart. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. What men have prized high, God is not prizing it. What men have considered as certain criteria, God is saying, that's not what I'm really looking at. That's not the exact thing. That's not the exact thing. The weight of your character is more important than the size of your destiny. Because if the weight of your character is not heavy, your destiny will collapse. The pillars holding your destiny must be a solid character. If the character is not solid, the whole everything plus the anointing, everything will come crumbling. And God has done it over and over again. And many people have wasted his time, wasted his resources, and disappointed him. And now when God is searching, he will say, no, the heart. And many people are saying they are crying, and God said, no, I'm seeing your heart already. Many years ago, the first time God blessed me with a car, I think maybe I can't remember how many years ago, but I remember it could be about 18 or 19. I don't know. More than, is it 18 or, no. Maybe 12, 13, just somewhere around 2012. Somewhere around that, anyway. I went to church. I never believed in my life that I always hear it. That the people preach and they say they bless them. I always hear that they bless a man of God, that they can bless a man of God. But I never believed in my life that I can finish preaching a sermon and somebody will give me the key to a car and say, drive home. But guess what? What I never believed in my life, that is the reason some people came to the ministry. They have been waiting for the day somebody will give them the car. The car has not still come. And when he refused to come, they start manipulating people. They start calling people, you. There was a man of God that came for a meeting like this, and he started looking at people and called them. When they stand, he said, raise your phone. And by the time they raise their phone, all the iPhones will stand up, the rest phones sit down. It's I that will go up now. And he will start calling them and giving them word, and they'll be dropping their phones. Remove your SIM card, drop your phone. Remove your SIM card, drop your phone. I don't know how he became a phone seller all of a sudden. Another one will come and say, there is blood on your car. Hey, I see that you will die in the car. The woman will die in the car, but the man of God will not die in the car. Criminals everywhere, and those ones are pastoral criminals, but there are some of us who are not in that position. But where you are still doing the same thing. Motive of our hearts. I never believed in my life. I cried, I was in tears. I was like, is this real? I felt like I was real. In fact, that all through the night, I could not sleep because I always hear it. I always say to myself, one day this thing can happen, one day it can happen. But I never believed. In fact, I didn't believe what I was saying, but I was just talking, I was just saying it. And that's why every position, every point in time, you feel so humbled. When somebody is asking questions, sometimes they'll ask questions like, sir, I want to ask them, like, how many people are in your church? I said, I don't know. I can't always talk number. Because every time I've met people that when we sit down, in less than 5 minutes, the guy is already announcing the number of people in his church. That there's one man in our church, very rich. I'm like, Kai. And sometimes I just look at myself and I say, I've attended meetings. In fact, the recent leadership training I went for, I don't even think I made friends. I don't. This is the business of networking and all that. You know, but you see, God help us, some of us. The networking, I don't understand. I want to network. I desire to network. But sometimes I feel like people talk too much highly about themselves, what they are not. You are overrating yourself. You are over talking. You don't even know that the person sitting by your side or standing by your side has 1,000 times of what you're shouting about and is quiet. But you have announced everything you know to announce. And after you are done, you are waiting maybe for the person to bow down. And the person says, it's okay. It's okay. And you feel embarrassed. You know when you leave and you feel like, I'm all the thing want to talk. You know, move the guy. Not everybody is moved by the noise. Not everybody is moved by all that. And you get what I'm saying now? Some people have made up their mind that they will be as simple as they should be. Let God look. And the Bible says he resists the proud, but he will now give more grace to the humble. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And in due time, he will lift you up. Many of us need to understand that God is looking at our hearts. If God is going to give you that kind of privilege, that kind of opportunity, there's a kind of blessing God wants to bless some people with. But if he gives you that money, you will not come for midweek service again. Hello, Pastor. God bless you. Well done. Okay, man of God. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. That's what you'll be hearing, you know. When there was no money, man of God, bless me. Man of God, pray for me. Bless me, sir. Now money has come. Yes, you are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. Okay. Then you pray for the person and say, it is well with you. He say, thank you. Thank you. Pride. And as that is happening, God is saying, this is the highest level this person can go. Just stay at this bus stop. And some other people who you never expected. I remember I was discussing something with somebody the other day, and the person looked at the girl that was asking us. He said, he was saying me. Then many years later, I pictured both of them. I laughed. Years later, when I remembered both of them. And that was what this person said many years ago. He was saying me. What's that? Pride. Pride. God is looking at our heart. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? Are you sure you're learning anything? Yes. God is always after the heart. God will check your heart, your motive, to know if you qualify to carry the anointing that you desire. It is your motive, not just your action, that makes God act. God is not wicked. To pour out grace and anointing upon us is not a difficult thing. But look at the Bible in the book of James chapter 4 verse 3. See what the Bible says there. NIV, I like NIV or any other translation anyway. But I like that. James chapter 4 verse 3. See what the Bible says there. James chapter 4 verse 3. It says, when you ask, you do not receive. Why? Is it because you ask with what? You ask with what? Your motives are wrong. You want to go and show your siblings because your elder brother talked to you somehow. So the reason you want to be rich is so that you will show him that one day, Namigo, they give you money. And God is saying, you want to be wealthy so that you oppress other people. If the motive of your heart to be wealthy is to oppress, you will never be able to get there. Because if you get there, you'll kill people. The Bible says, when you ask and you do not receive. Why? He said, because you ask with wrong motives. Why? He said, you want to spend it and you want that you may spend what you get on your what? So that means there are some things that are your pleasure. And you are asking God for a particular thing so that you will spend it on your pleasure. We have to be careful. Sometimes some of us are under serious pressure. In fact, I was speaking to my mentor and he told me, said, listen, it became a serious matter. Listen, Mavis, this year, by all means, I want you must travel. I say, I've heard, sir. Is it that traveling is difficult? No. Is there a passport? Yes. Is there everything? But you see, my head is after the assignment so seriously that I've forgotten to even know that there are many things people are doing around. Sometimes people are like, you are consumed. I say, yes. Jesus said, the zeal of the Lord's house has consumed me. My assignment is important. My assignment, not to fail God, is more important to me than any other thing. The praise of men, anybody saying anything, that's your business. All I want is that Jesus will be glorified. For you to be glorified, oh God. that your name will be heard, that I will preach the word of God, sound doctrine, regardless of what anybody feels. I'll be able to speak the truth of God without lies, so that when I come on the day of judgment, I will stand before my Father and I will hear, "Welcome, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." You know why? Many people will hear, they will come and say, "We heal the sick in your name. We raise the dead." He will say, "No, get behind me." He said, "I know you not." In other words, they were workers, but they had wrong motives. That's why their works were not approved. That's why everything they did for themselves. They did not do for the kingdom. Everything they pursued so that people will see them affluence. Just a little. I just look at some people. I've been wondering. I'm really shocked. Many things happen on Instagram these days. In fact, that's why some places I just don't want to be there, because they're already toxic space. There are people who hire cars to go to church on Sunday to impress their members. They can't buy the car, they hired it. I'm like, how long are you going to use this car? How much are you going to pay every week? Just to impress people. Bros, if we need to trek, let us trek. Doesn't change anything. My status, that is, you say, I saw you on the road. My status does not change. The anointing, one drop doesn't drop. One drop of the oil does not come down because I'm trekking. Never. To buy a car to impress somebody. To live in a house to impress people. At the end of the day, you realize that the weight of what you are doing, when God looks from heaven, he will say, "You are foolish." May we not be called foolish in the sight of God. In the name of Jesus. I want to really address a lot of people here tonight. Everybody listen to me. But many people who are designed to work for God, my heart is addressing many of us, because the things we see on social media today can confuse you. Many people are desiring, many people that are singing in choir, their desire to sing choir is not because of God, though. It's because every time they are seeing Judy K and Tom or Tomisi or something, that is their goal. Their goal is not that men will be lifted, the heart and the souls of men will be lifted. No, that's never their goal. Many people, it's just a show. Just, it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time when you see that some people, when, the reason God cannot move them from where they are is that God has seen that this one, if we move you 1 inch, they will never see you again. You are all that matters. You are all that matters. I will put you in front of my everything. You are all that matters. You are all that matters. I have made room for two. It's you and I, Jesus. You are that matters. You are that matters. Ooh, yeah, ooh. You are that matters. Ooh, yeah, ooh, yeah. Araba da managa da laba. Ooh, yeah, ooh, yeah, ooh, yeah. When your motive is wrong, no activity, no service, nothing you do can cause God to release grace upon your life or bless your work, because you will waste the anointing. You will waste everything on pleasures. Your motive is the reason for which you are doing what you do. It is the essence, the purpose why you are serving. You know that the reason you want to be anointed is so that you will oppress people. Some people are doing what they are doing because I want to be influential. I want to be seen. I want to be heard. I will attract a husband quick if I'm an usher or meeters and greeters than when I'm in the intercessory team. So, ushering. See motive. If I join the choir, I'll carry microphone. Whereas there are other gifts that are lacking in the body that you would have done better. But because you want where you'll be seen, where you'll be perceived, where you can stand. Many years ago, when we were about to start our work, Potter's work, as I started teaching the people that were around me, one guy in the meeting we were discussing, he now said, "Pastor, you know, I realized in the program, you are the one always preaching every time. I think you should be giving some of us opportunities to be doing it too." And everybody looked at him and said, "Is that why you are here?" After that time, he didn't come again. What was the motive? He wanted platform. And he claimed that he came to serve. Because if you came to serve, you will not be asking for platform. At the place where you are serving, platform will find you. There are many people who never demanded for platform, but what they were doing, their heart gave them the platform. Is anybody going to say no? My church and my pastor where I stayed and I was serving, I was preaching in Molwe. I was doing morning cry in the same vicinity. I did not need anybody to give me any pulpit. I don't need it. I don't need it one bit. They had to search one day and pastor called and said, are you not the one that hosted that program? I say, I've told them to fix your name. You start leading prayer in church. I say, thank you, sir. Once in four months, before you lead prayer, because the queue is plenty. Now you give somebody the prayer to lead, some people will be complaining. Is it every time? Why are they always putting my name? Enjoy it while it lasts. Because time will come. You will be asking for one slot. It will be once in 3 years. I said this to one of the girls that was singing in church. Those days we just started. And anytime the people, students are on break, church will be empty. So she will sing Sunday service. She will sing midweek service. She will sing every time. Then at a particular point, she will complain. And I told her, I said, calm down. Listen to me. This is your complaint. You are complaining. You better do it now. Be training yourself. Be helping your life. Because time will come. You will be waiting on the queue. You will not get. There are many years, some years back, whether 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, I can't remember. We were doing a program somewhere. In the former place. And while we were doing the program, she was no longer in the choir. There was no space for her. She now wrote that she wanted to give special number. There was still no space for special number. Not because we didn't want to give her. There was no space. So what's the motive? Why were you doing what you were doing? If you were doing it sincerely as an act of service and all, you would do it with all your life. You'd be so committed. We'll be the ones begging you and saying, okay, it's enough. But some people have wrong motives. Wrong motives. I'll show you 2 or 3 wrong motives tonight. Then we're going to pray. Is anybody getting from what I'm saying? Are you learning anything? Wrong motive is always about what is there for me. What is in it for me? What will I get? How does it benefit me? Yes. Doing things so that you can be seen and accepted. Seeking the praise of men, the recognition of men. Christianity is a call to serve in God, serve God in spirit and in truth. It's not a place to showcase your skills, your talent. Despite the fact God has given you the talent and the skills, He wants you to manifest. But don't put your heart in front and say, I am doing this thing so that men will see me. No, it has to be for God to be glorified. In John chapter 4, verse 24, can you put it on the screen for us? John chapter 4 verse 24. The Bible says God is seeking. God is a spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in what? Worship Him in what? Yes. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. What's your motivation? Why are you serving? Why are you praying? If nobody ever knew that you were giving, would you give? the Spirit on Sunday to raise an offering for our building project. Now, the question is this. While we're giving, as we're coming out to give, I really wanted to say, everybody, take a piece of paper, sit down. Because it's possible that some people stood up because they will be seen. There are many other times we have given. If we did not say stand up, check yourself, you will never stand up. It was your pride. That if I don't stand now, the pastor doesn't see me. Will everybody look at others going and I'm not going? And that's why you see many times many pastors are quick to manipulate people. That's why many times they will come and say, bring it in your hand, come and drop it at the altar, because they know. You know what? I struggled very hard on Sunday to talk much about that, David. I really did not want to say anything. I wish I didn't have to say anything. You know why? When there is an obvious need, I don't need to talk. Why am I talking? Why would I have to talk? Why would I have to do something that will make a person who has not decided in their heart to do something? I feel like if there's no blessing for that kind of thing. And why God is pressing my heart to do it today is because as soon as you repent, that offering will rise into heaven as an incense. There are many people who gave on Sunday, your offering has not gone yet because your heart did not release it. You were checking what other people would say. But if only tonight you can say, God, I am sorry. I am sincerely sorry. What pastor just said is exactly what I did. Lord, sorry, so that my gift can come to you as a burning incense. You know why I'm saying this? I don't want you to give something and there will be no result for it. And it's possible that somebody who is stingy will be saying, me too, I no give. See, that's another problem. Yes. Because it's either on this extreme or the other extreme. If we will not announce anybody, would you still give? If nobody will know, imagine that ushering, we have to have invisible ushers and you'll not be seen. Will you join the ushering department? Many people are in places where they think that they are seen, they are known, they are accepted. People can see me. So I'm doing it so that people can see me. I'm doing it because if they don't see me, it will look somehow. Is anybody get what I'm saying here now? Yes. If you look, just of us who are leaders, just imagine and ask yourself, if you are to leave that position that you occupy right now and you are brought to a lesser position, would you be saying in your heart that they demoted me? It's the same service of God, and somebody else is serving in this position, another one here, another one here, another one here. Then they say, oh, leave this position because you think that position is very high and they brought you to serve here. You are contemplating your heart, why did they bring me here? Check your motive. If you came to serve, anywhere you want to serve, you stay. Some time ago, I was asking a young man that I believe that I had a leading in my heart that there was something God will have you do. And he asked me what. I said, you don't ask what. You say, I am ready. Here I am. Send me. That's what I expected to hear. So you needed to know what so that you will negotiate whether or not you will do it. And you call yourself a son, you are not a son. That's the spirit of a bastard. No true son will come on that negotiation table. What you would hear is, here I am, send me. What's the work? What's the work? What am I supposed to do? Do you know there are many pastors who lost their ministry because they were serving in ministries while they were serving in those positions? They posted them to somewhere that they felt that the rich people would not be there. They felt it was a local community. They wanted to be in Lekki. They wanted to be in Ikeja. Then they carried them to somewhere inside Ibao near Badagry. And from there, they resigned and said, what kind of thing is that? I'm not doing it again. And so I go and check many of them. They've been struggling with their own ministry for the past 10 years. They can't cross that border. Their motive was wrong. I'm even impressed in my spirit very soon that we need to do another ministers' conference because I sense that a lot of people really want to press into doing the work of God. But they already know when something is dead on arrival. Like before they started, they already failed. The motive. That's what happens when people fail before starting, is motive. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Because I will need to ask, why are you playing this keyboard? Why are you playing the drums? Why are you setting all these things? Why? You need to ask yourself. Many months ago, I can't remember, like 2 or 3 years, I was talking to our instrumentalist in general, and I told him, I said, I don't want you to play for me. And at the end of the day, I have led many. Then you have found wanting.
Because I know that the heart of many, 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 many instrumentalists is not always in that service. It's always in what is in it for me. There's nothing wrong with having something in it for people. But sometimes you must check your own self and position yourself right. But I thank God for the kind of people that God has given to us. I'm always grateful to God. Every time I'm grateful to God, I'm sincerely grateful to God. Am I going for the praise and what people will say? Just imagine that I'm a pastor now. If nobody is going to give me anything, will I still be preaching? If I could preach when there was nobody, when one day somebody looked and said, your future is still very far. I said, why? Is that? When will all these people grow? When will they marry? When will they have money? When will they be mature? That's when we just started, though. When will their life start before your own will start? Man looks at the outward, but God sees the heart. Left everything to follow. It wasn't easy. Do you know how many people were saying things? They're like, he's just children. That man is pastoring children. But look at today. Sometimes you go to the children's church, there's no space left. Some people are still in their delusion. Some people are still in their far delusion. Help us, please. Some people are still in their own far delusion, telling themselves where they are. Many people are ordained to be in this church. Their destiny is attached here. But their pride has not brought them, because they're always telling themselves, now young people did here. They don't know that God has positioned the word for their lifting and their destiny in this mouth. If nobody is there, would you still pray? Misguided purposes why people serve God. I'll say a few of them and I'll close. Number one, people serve in order to make one's self worthy enough. Number one reason, misguided reasons why people serve. Serving in order to make yourself worthy enough. That if I serve well, I'll be worthy. How many of us remember the story of the prodigal son and the brother? You know why the brother was serving? The brother was serving, he was believing that the more he served, the more the father will love him. He didn't know that the father loved him and everything the father owned belonged to him. So when the younger brother came back home, guess what he was saying? I have been serving all these years and you have not given me anything. Oh, I've been here doing everything. You did not even kill a kid for me. That means the guy did not feel his service to his father was that the more I serve, I will now be accepted. I will now be loved. Not knowing that he was loved from the beginning. Not knowing that he was loved from the beginning. Many people are like that. They are serving because if I serve God well, he will forgive me my sins. Forgive me my sins. Listen, you have been forgiven and accepted in the beloved. It is not your service that makes God forgive you. God forgave you and called you to serve. Is anybody getting what I'm saying right now? So that you don't say you are trying to use your service to bribe God. If I come to church more often, God will attend to me more often. No, it's not like that. If you like, don't come. You have neglected scripture, forsaking the assembly of the brethren. That's what you did. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here right now? Next week, I'm going to continue. I just feel led to pray a little bit. But let me give you this reason. Serving to show is another reason. Serving to show. How many of us know in the Bible that Hannah had issue with Peninnah? And all the while Hannah was asking for a child, Hannah was asking for a child so that she would prove to Peninnah that she is not barren. She was not asking for a child for the right motive of having children. She was asking for a child because Peninnah has peppered her. Like, seriously, Peninnah. The Bible says Peninnah had provoked Anna Saul. So every time Anna came before God, she would pray and say, God, give me a child so that Peninnah will know that I serve a living God. Show Peninnah. Show her very well. And God said, no, no. The reason I will give you Samuel is not to show Peninnah. It doesn't make any difference. I don't give you things like that because you want to show other people. Because very soon you will now carry Samuel and say, Peninnah, you see, foolish woman. You will now be misbehaving. So all the while she was asking like that, the child was withheld from her. The reason many blessings have been withheld from many people is your motive. Your motive is wrong. But the day she shifted her prayer point and said, God, if you give me a child, I will give you a prophet. Let's negotiate. I know what you need. I will meet your need, not my own need. I will satisfy your desire, not my own desire. I will go for what you want and not what I want. Immediately she prayed like that. The Bible says God heard her and said, we strike the deal. Many of us have not been able to strike a deal with God because everything you are asking is to waste it on your pleasure. You want to reach some other people and pepper them. You want to show them pepper. And God is saying, that's not how I do. That's not how I deal. If I get this thing, they will see. If I get this first class, everybody will see. I will show them. All those people that said that, I did. And God says, look at you. Some people are very intelligent. The reason they still got third class is because God knows that if I give you second class, you will brag. Every day you are talking, you'll be talking about it. Yeah, I got your first class. I don't have the first class. So God just said, let's humble you. Let's humble you. Help your life. Because if I leave you like this, this pride will kill you. Let me help you. And many people do not know that, for God refusing to give you certain things so that you will learn the lesson is mercy. Because if you have gotten some of those things, they would have killed us before our time. Is anybody going to say something? I want you to pray from your heart and say, God, give me the right heart. I want to have the right heart. I want to have the right heart. Many people are in their heart and say, the reason that you will not be able to get what you want sometimes is your motive. Check your motive. What is the underlying reason? Why exactly do you want that job? Why exactly do you want that man? Why exactly do you want that woman? Why exactly do you desire the anointing? Why exactly do you want that particular thing? Check your motive. Check your heart. Then you'll be fit for the master's use. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you.
I live for you.
Every breath that I take.
Every moment I'm awake.
Lord, have your way.
Lord, have your way.
Let me hear you say.
I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. I give you my soul.
I live for you.
I live for you alone. Every breath I take, every moment I'm away.
Lord, have your way
in me.
Listen, I want you to pray tonight and say, God, punch me. Wrong motives. Purge me of wrong motives. Purge me of wrong motives. There are many people that married out of competition. This one has married, I will marry so that I will have my child to be older than their child. And they've been waiting since. That one has moved on. That one was not even aware of the competition. Don't compete. Don't put yourself in a position that God has not put you. Don't put your mind in what God has not considered for you. There are many people, the competition to get married is what has kept them where they are. While they were competing, the people that did not know anything have moved on and got married. But at the brink, their own broke up. They've been breaking up. And God is saying, correct this motive. If it is not correct, how will we move you to the next phase? The reason you've not gotten that job is that you want to threaten everybody. You want to shout and tell everybody, look at me, look at where I am now, look at where I walk now. And God is saying, that's not it. If I put you there, you use your mouth to destroy yourself. Until you have cured your heart, you will not be able to get to that level. Just a little space, you are bragging already. What if I give you a whole warehouse? motive. Ministry is not a shortcut to become a celebrity. Ministry is not a career that I want to. I've decided to make a career to feed my family and my children. No, that's not what we're doing. We are here to impact lives. We are here to sacrifice ourselves. We are here to give up ourselves. Many have gone to locations that they thought were the best, and yet they are struggling there. And some other people are where they humble themselves and listen to the voice of God, and their life keeps advancing. Say, God, purge me of every wrong motive, purge me of every wrong motive, purge me of every wrong motive. Shemele barabadala baragaba ya ba 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 ba. Ezeneges wakabaragadala barush. Shama negedele bushka bai ba bamba dele baraya.
In itself in whatever doesn't show your grace that is magnifying flesh in. Take it away.
You want to be famous. You want to be powerful. You want to be on top. No, no, no. That's not how it is. God will raise men by themselves, by himself, because he's the lifter of men. If you raise yourself, you will fall. But if you allow God to raise you, he will sustain you.
But take it away. Take it away. Oh, take it away. Oh,
oh, thank you, Jesus.
Take it away.
In Jesus' mighty name we have prayer. There are people, when you ask them, why are you serving? Saying, you know, in that church, they don't have anybody to replace me. I'm just helping them. Ah. Nobody can do it better than myself. So I'm just helping. I'm just there because nobody can do it better than me. Jesus said, I will raise stones. 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 Stones will show up. And you know what it means to raise stones? People you least expect that are cast in one corner, they will show up. And they will take that place and they will do it 10 times better. And that's why you must always tell yourself, Jesus, it's an honor to be called by you. There's a melody in my heart just for you. All my strength, joy, they are found in you.
I give you the praise, the praise.
You deserve the praise.
Jesus.
yourself in the capacity to be called your son. It's a privilege.
In my heart just for you. All my strength, joy, power found in you. I give you the praise. The praise.
Say you deserve the praise.
That you deserve my praise. My praise.
1 minute before we go, just say to God, search me, Lord, and know my heart. Show me the faults. Show me my faults. If there's anywhere I've exalted myself beyond measure, if there's anywhere I've magnified my office beyond what you have asked for me, if there's anywhere I've positioned myself higher than what you have put me, Lord, sincerely from my heart, I ask that you will, oh God, show mercy. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. The church where I served, there are people who still call me Mavis. If I go there now, say, Mavis. Ah, Mavis, how are you? Where I serve. Mavis, how are you? It has not changed anything to them. And by the grace of God, I have to put a humble heart so that I don't look and say, ah, why? How can you be talking to me like that? Do you know who I am? I've heard somebody call me and say, ah, Mavis, how are you doing? I can see what is happening. No? Ah, God is helping you. Ah, Mavis, you are trying. It's still Mavis. Just to give me brother or something. He didn't add it. But guess what? I told myself, God, I am fine. There are some people just making them head of departments. They have made themselves assistant bishop. Be careful, he that thinks he stands, lest he fall. The journey is still far. God wants to raise you, but you have to humble yourself. The reason God has not used many people is because of pride. Because their hearts, the position of their heart is wrong. See, a guy is dating a particular girl, and you look at the girl and say, ah, this guy is blind though. You don't see girls like us. And everybody will pass you by. And the one you thought was least, 5-10 years, God blesses them, and the girl is looking like an angel. And you are still there with pepper body and hard mind, doing face like this. Because you do not consider that the other person is fit. You feel like you are the one that is fit. Please, get out of that position and say, God, teach me to have a humble heart. Give me a heart that is like yours. Give me a humble heart. Can't you see how Jesus lived his life and what he taught us to do? Next week is going to be, I'm going to show you, I have about 4 points to teach on. Next week, I'm going to continue. I want you to prepare your heart and invite your friends next week. One of the things God is doing tonight is to heal hearts. Heal hearts. Many of us will have to go and apologize, and God will be reminding you of something and say, look at, it was your heart that made you say all these kind of things. Just for one thing, I've been in places where they are doing some kind of fundraising. You just see some people, talk. They say, I give 5,000. You'd have just shut up and just give what you are and go away. They talk. You are expecting that with all this talk. You know, I and this people have known ourselves for 30 years. You know, we have been brothers in the faith. We have been in the spirit. We see ourselves in the dream. You know, and I want to support him and help him and assist him so that he will not fail. How much? 5,000. You just know that he's just talking about himself, announcing himself, publicizing himself. There's nothing wrong with blowing your trumpets when you need to at the right time for good purposes. But there are certain times you allow the Holy Spirit to lead your heart and it will say, be still and know that I am God. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? It is well with us. Can you say, Jesus, help me. I receive all the help I need to be humble. A humble heart. A contrite heart.
Lord, give unto me in the name of Jesus. Amen. Can you put your hands together and celebrate Jesus tonight?
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.